Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Friday. This is the Herd. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning, and a great move. An hour from now, the Blazing Five off a 4-1 week. Feel great about the picks. I love Fridays after Thursday night football, and let me start here. When I was a kid growing up, I liked boxing, and I loved Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, every time he stepped in the ring, won most of the time, didn't win all the time, was always the smartest guy in the ring. The angles, the jab, he'd wear you out, Thriller in Manila. He was always the smartest guy in the ring, and he was usually the best guy in the ring. He left nothing on the table. He got everything out of his career. I wish he was today the great star in boxing. With social media, Muhammad Ali would be amazing. And then there was a bunch of fighters for a long time I didn't really care about. And then there was Mike Tyson showed up, and he was wildly entertaining. And he walked into the ring, and he was the most explosive, and he had the best knockout punch. But he left a lot of wins on the table in his career. And when I watch the Pittsburgh Steelers and I think about the New England Patriots, the Patriots always feel like Ali. I know they're the smartest team playing. When I watch the Steelers, I always feel like I got some Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson was dialed in, you didn't want any part of Mike Tyson. And in Pittsburgh last night, I got all of Big Ben's talent, and he was efficient. 22 of 25. I got all of their talent, and they were disciplined. Only one penalty. I got all of their home run stars, and they had 7 different guy scores touchdowns. When Tyson was at his best, it was like, yeah, I don't want any part of Tyson. That's the team that should be the shoe-in for the AFC championships every year. But New England shows up every year. And New England's on the phone going, Pittsburgh, where are you? You know, we'll send Tebow this time. Yeah, Joe Flacco beat us this time. What? What? I mean, last night was Pittsburgh has everything, and they have for the last 7 years. They've had everything you want. Hall of Fame quarterback. Dynamic perimeter players, a coach that's going to make the Hall of Fame. They always have great offensive lines with Pro Bowlers. They got a 1,000-yard rusher. They hit hard. They're physical. They got swagger. Their pass rush is always better than New England. How are they not in the AFC Championship every year? But yesterday was classic Tyson / Steelers. What happened yesterday before the game? Oh, Le'Veon Bell sending an upside-down tweet. Everybody's talking about it. Antonio Brown gets in trouble for going 100 miles an hour. Oh, it was classic Steelers. It was just, even on a night they had it all geared up. It's all sorts of noise before the game started. But, man, they are lethal. They trailed 7-0. 11 seconds later, they led 14-7. That's like you're beating Tyson and you wake up on the mat. But I had won the first 4 rounds. Yeah, then he hit you with a left hook. I didn't see it exactly. That was Tyson. Pittsburgh is highly dramatic and highly entertaining and highly talented and highly explosive. They're just highly all the time. You're just getting everything from them. And Carolina's a real team. I mean, going into that game last night in the NFC, I'm like, Saints-Rams? Okay, Saints-Rams are the best two. I think Carolina's their best team. And that fight was over fast. That thing was over fast. And Ali and Tyson never fought. They never did. And I always thought Ali would figure out the angles. He'd wear Tyson out. Tyson, at the end of his career, didn't even have a jab. He was just going for home runs. But even though I thought Ali would win and beat Tyson, I always knew all Ali had to do was make one mistake and he would end up in a hospital. And it is amazing when I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and on nights like last night when they got it all dialed in, the jab, they're in shape, they took the fight seriously, they still got the power. You're like, I don't know, no thank you. You better not go and get a soda because the fight could be over in about 8 minutes. I went to a couple Tyson fights where people didn't show up until the second round and there was another fight because that one was over. And, you know, it's just amazing. We're going to look back at this 20 years from now. We're going to be like, you know, Pittsburgh would have won more Super Bowls, but they always had to go through New England. No, that's not the way it's worked. No, New England's only beaten them once in the AFC Championship. 2 years they missed the playoffs. 1 year Tebow beat them. Flacco beat him, Bortles beat him, Peyton Manning beat him. This has never been about New England keeping the great Pittsburgh dynasty at bay. It's been Pittsburgh not showing up for the reservation. And New England's on the phone. Hey, where are you? You out in the parking lot? I'll hold the table. No, we'll send Bortles. Hey, where are you guys? We're here waiting. No, Tim Tebow's on his way. Tebow? We already played him twice. Blew it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we lost to Tebow. I mean, wow is all I can say about last night. Wow. That was impressive. They were my Super Bowl pick before the year, and they finally looked like it last night. Blazing 5 in 50 minutes. Okay, let me shift gears. Before the season started in the NBA, you guaranteed me. You lectured me. Listen. This year for LeBron, let's not even talk about the Western Conference Finals. Chemistry, and I said, I think they're going to be around 50 wins. I think the West isn't as good as you think. I mean, Golden State's obviously way better, but let's slow down on the cans. Let's look at the cans. Well, last night was very interesting in the NBA. The Rockets are awful. No, I mean, they lost to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City didn't have Westbrook. And by the way, Oklahoma City won their second straight game without Westbrook, showing that Westbrook's not nearly as valuable as you think. And oh, by the way, Steph Curry got hurt for Golden State last night. MRI today. Steph Curry's hurt again for Golden State. You keep telling me this Laker team, just let's not worry this year about the playoffs. They have no chip. Really? Oklahoma City? Westbrook is now a decade of attacking the rim and hitting the floor, is hurt again. Houston Carmelo Anthony is an abject disaster. Portland scores only from the backcourt, nothing in the front court. Minnesota's got turmoil and a losing record. What about Denver? Really, Jamal Murray or LeBron in June? Who you got? New Orleans is a one-man team, and we're all waiting for the one-man Anthony Davis to be a Laker. The Lakers are deep and optimistic and long and athletic and third in the NBA in scoring, and they got the world's best player, and they've got those young guys who are now Kuzma starting to hit their threes. Last night was an interesting night. The Rockets are a mess, and not the kind of mess where you can flip a switch. They're a mess. And Oklahoma City wins now with Westbrook. Without him, he's not as valuable as you all claimed. And let me again remind you that the Lakers are going into the easy part of their schedule for the next 2 weeks. A lot of wins, a lot of confident building wins. Sacramento, Atlanta, Portland at home, Orlando's awful, Heat, Cavs. Jazz that get them at home, Magic, has a lot of W's in there. And there's a lot of confidence building in there. You kept telling me, listen, this thing, listen, this is just, you win 45 games, you get in it as an 8 seed. Curry's hurt, Rockets awful, Minnesota in turmoil, really trust Jamal Murray and the Nuggets. Portland limited, Minnesota a mess, Westbrook here, Westbrook gone, increasingly hurt, doesn't matter, Anthony Davis soon to leave the Pelicans. The guys on TNT said it about that Golden State Houston guaranteed Western Conference final. It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I don't think they have the same talent level that they had last year overall. I thought they were super deep last year. They don't play the same way. You know, they don't play the same way that they did last year. They don't share the ball as much right now. They don't defend as much.
But we ain't going to make excuses for them.
Well, no, now, it's not an excuse.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
It's not a reason.
Okay, but let me finish. Last year, they were an elite team. When you go that far in the playoffs, then in the summertime, you're supposed to build on that.
Right.
They haven't built on that. I don't know what the problem is, but we're not going to make excuses for them.
Well, not make excuses. They lost their two best defenders.
Whoopie freaking do. Step up.
Houston's not Houston, and it's not close, and their chemistry's bad, and they're not as good defensively, and Chris Paul will eventually get hurt because he does, and Melo's just done, and Harden's mostly great on one end of the floor. Lakers, LeBron, eight games, really easy, young, optimistic, athletic, deep. Don't count him out. We always do before the trading deadline with LeBron. Don't count him out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are losses in football that make you go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Like when Ohio State lost to Purdue, it's not only they're not as good as I thought, they got problems inside the locker room. They got problems I can't see. When Ohio State lost to them, Alabama loses, they don't lose like that. Oklahoma loses, they don't lose like that. Okay. That's what I saw last night from Carolina. I mean, New Orleans is going to lose. They're not going to lose like that. Rams are going to lose. They're not going to lose like that. New England's going to lose. They're not going to lose like that. I mean, Carolina makes you look at your resume now, and you start looking at it, and you're like, oh, you know, they gave the Giants 31 points with Eli Manning. I mean, they beat Baltimore, but Baltimore's now a mess. They struggled at home against Dallas. That defense last night, like if you literally handed the Carolina result so far, that was your resume, and you went for a job, the person interviewing you would be like, yeah, that's a, what happened in that year you were in Pittsburgh? Well, I was in a bad relationship. I wasn't very good at my job. I wasn't focused. How did you give up 31 points to Eli Manning? Well, I was in New York. My boss wasn't great. I just got sidetracked on that. I wasn't really dialed in. That resume doesn't look nearly as good this morning after that loss. I mean, you're like, what are they? They just quit. Their secondary's terrible. I mean, sometimes a loss is so bad, I got to go, wait a minute. It's funny because before the season started, I was absolutely sure the NFC was better than the AFC. But I look at the AFC today and I got Patriots. That looks like a Super Bowl team. Steelers, Super Bowl team. Kansas City, Super Bowl team. Texans, Chargers, really, really, really good. And you don't want to have to go play them on the road. I look at the NFC now, and I'm like, Rams, Saints are tight. And then it's just a bunch of that. Atlanta, Carolina, Minnesota, Green Bay.
So you're taking them out of the Super Bowl bubble?
When you lose, New England doesn't lose like that. Saints don't lose like that. What was that? But Alabama, that's how Ohio State.
I don't have an explanation for what that was.
That was just like, I don't even buy in. I don't even like that team. Here, Cam Newton with this decision early in the game pretty much turned it around, turned the stadium into a, really, it was over after this. Here's Cam.
Newton keeps, he's in trouble, throws up for grabs and picked. Intercepted by Williams, touchdown.
It looked to me like they might be trying to run some type of screen action back the other way. I don't know if he thinks he might be able to throw one into Christian McCaffrey or not, but obviously under duress, a ill-advised throw and a costly mistake by Cam Newton.
That was just a mess.
He was clearly looking at Christian McCaffrey.
And it was a little like Dallas on Monday night. Off a bye, Amari Cooper now there. You're at home, and you watch them play Tennessee, and you're like, no juice, no energy, no offense, no tricks, no sizzle. I look at Dallas differently. If that game is 34-26 and you get outplayed, it just Steelers, punch you in the forehead, it's at Pittsburgh, that's okay. But that's Ohio State losing to Purdue. It's like, oh, you could lose to Purdue. You can't lose like that. Cam talking about the blowout loss.
Sure enough, was a humbling piece of pie, but not only that, it was a learning experience for a lot of guys. Just got whooped, man. Just got whooped. But it happens. You have those type of games in the league, but it's going to be about how we rebound and you know, get ready for our next opponent.
Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned I don't trust them. That was really bad. That was not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So a lot of stats, it don't matter. One of the stats I've always said in football that I really pay attention to is third down conversions. Your defense may have flaws, but if you get people off the field on third down and give it back to your quarterback and your quarterback's good, I like that. Philadelphia is not perfect defensively, but to get people off the field on third down, get the ball back to Carson Wentz, that's good. That's good situational defense. So that's the stat I look at. And if you get third downs a lot as an offense, that tells me you're well coached. You got a quarterback who can make plays at the line, audible. You probably get a good push on third down. You got a physical football team up front. Here's another stat that I never heard of. I never even heard of this stat until this morning. In fact, the NFL didn't keep this stat till like 3 years ago. Aaron Rodgers leads the NFL with 32 throwaways this year, just throwing the ball away. They only kept this stat starting like 2 years ago with Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers has the all-time record. He threw it away 46 times in 1 year. Aaron Rodgers is on pace to throw it away 73 times, which will be double the next. Okay, now it should be noted that the year Philip Rivers threw it away 46 times, he didn't have his number one receiver, Keenan Allen. He's not a mobile quarterback to begin with, and they had one of the worst offensive lines in NFL history. He had excuses. Aaron Rodgers has a tight end you can throw the ball up to. He's a former basketball player at 6'7". He's got Devontae Adams, an elite wide receiver. He is a mobile quarterback. Yeah, Aaron, even with the knee thing, is a mobile quarterback. And also, their offensive line in Green Bay, it's always fine. They may not have a great running back. Their offensive line is fine. They've had 7 Pro Bowlers in the last several years. So I'm just going to throw this out to you. This is a message. Aaron sends a lot of messages. What have I said about Aaron Rodgers this year? How exasperated he looks. That's a message. That's a message to the general manager of the Packers. He's been overly dramatic this year. What is that throwaway? Throwaway isn't an incompletion. A throwaway is, that's the crap you gave me as a play? That's it? That's what you gave me. If a chef throws it away, that's the fish you gave me. That's what I got to work with here? Okay, Aaron Rodgers is mobile. Aaron Rodgers has a good enough O-line. Aaron Rodgers has a 6'7.5" tight end. Aaron Rodgers has his number one receiver. Aaron Rodgers leads the NFL by a mile in throwaways. That's a message. That's a, yeah, this didn't work either. This play with no motion didn't work either. Your offensive scheme, which is, guys, get open. We're not going to get you open through schemes. Just get open. That's a message. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, in the offseason, went on Milwaukee radio telling you he was upset with the organization because they let their quarterback coach, Van Pelt, last name, now in Cincinnati, let him go. Aaron's friend. So this was Aaron's guy in the room. And Green Bay Mike McCarthy let him go. Actually forced him out. He didn't want to go to Cincinnati. He liked working with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron didn't like. Aaron came into this year not happy with Mike McCarthy. Now he's setting a record, doubling the league, tripling the average quarterback on throwaways. And as I said 3 weeks ago, he's gotten overly dramatic on TV. Oh, my God. There was a study done years ago at the University of Washington. It's a brilliant study. And with 99% accuracy, they could predict divorces. Now, what did they find? What in the world could they have found? What they found when surveying men and women together, that the number one sign of divorce was not money problems. That wasn't the sign. You could look at there. Some couples were rich. Some couples were middle class. Some were poor. It was not kids. Some had no kids. Some had old kids. Some had kids in junior high. But they did this study at the University of Washington, and they discovered there was a trait that absolutely, inarguably, immeasurably signaled a divorce is coming. And do you know what that trait was? Condescending. Deep sighs. Rolling your eyes at your wife. Rolling your eyes at your husband. Overly dramatic. He did that again. She said that again. The divorce is coming. They do studies on this. Throwaway footballs at this level are a message. This is the play. This is what you gave me. This is it. I got a tight end. I got Devontae Adams. I got that young running back. I got a good old line. Throwing it away is, hey, sideline guy, where's my quarterback coach? Where's my quarterback coach? Where's the motion like Jared Goff has with the Rams? Where's the clever stuff like Kyle Shanahan? Carson, why can't people get open like the other teams? That's what that is. Sighs, exasperated, lead the divorces. Not the kids, not money.
What's up, everybody? This is John Middlecoff from the 3 and Out podcast on Colin Cowherd's podcast network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk a ton of football. Coming up, I tell you what the biggest differentiating factor is of why the Steelers keep kicking butt. Kyler Murray looked like he was headed to Major League Baseball. Not so fast. NFL quarterback, anyone? Might be. Again, 3 and Out podcast with me. That's John Middlecoff.
By the way, this story is mind-numbing. There's always this question. Alabama has a great team. Nobody disputes that. But I still think they can lose to Clemson. I really do. I think they can lose to Georgia. And everybody's like, oh, they would beat the Buffalo Bills. The Vegas sportsbooks came out and said, no, the Bills would be a 28.5-point favorite. Yeah, I want to see Bama face an NFL team, too, so we can end the absurd argument they could beat one. Not even their coach worked in the NFL. All of Alabama's a running back program, right? The quarterbacks have been average. Some receivers good, but they always have great running backs. Even their marquee running backs go to the NFL. Their backups are gone. T.J. Yeldon, backup. Mark Ingram, second best back on the Saints. Kenyon Drake, Derrick Henry, backups. That's their best position. They always have great dominant running back. Those guys go to the NFL, they're the second best running back on their team. I mean, give me a break on this stuff. I mean, how many great Bama players are in the NFL? Dante Hightower is the second best pass rusher for New England. Landon Collins is the second best safety in New York to Jamal Adams. Clinton Dix is apparently worth a fourth rounder. Folks, stop it. Alabama would get smoked. Alabama plays against teams with non-NFL players, whereas the Buffalo Bills play against team with all NFL players. That's sort of how it works. And I don't think Alabama's a shoo-in to win a national title. I think they probably will. But if Clemson goes into a game undefeated, playing with house money, with all the pressure in the world on the greatest college football team ever on Alabama, Alabama's going to be tight.
This is not the greatest college football team of all time. It's not even close.
The Miami team with Larry Coker's first year that had, like, not only NFL players, they ended up being great NFL players.
They didn't have just NFL players on the field. Their backups, the backups to the guys that were playing on the greatest college football team of all time went on to be NFL stars. Let me ask you this. Do you think that this Alabama team could beat the Vikings this year?
They'd be destroyed by the Vikings.
Do they have any chance whatsoever? Do you think they could score?
Not a point.
Any points?
Not a point.
Okay, well, the Bills beat the Vikings 27-6 this year. I'm positive they would lay 145 points on Alabama.
And with that, I bring in a former NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal, now the NFL writer, very smart, funny guy, Kevin Clark for The Ringer. Okay, I don't mean to wear you out on this. This story, my head hurts.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Nathan Peterman put up 43 points on the eventual national champions of 2016. Nathan Peterman is the worst quarterback I've ever seen at the NFL level.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. I went back and looked. We've done this before. In 2012, they had to ask Pete Carroll, could a college team conceivably do it? It was because the Alabama team with A.J. McCarron and Eddie Lacy looked so good. That was what the conversation was. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, even going back further, Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, fine players. We had that conversation with that team. Those guys didn't make a huge impact at the NFL level.
So Nathan Peterman beat Clemson.
Nathan Peterman put up 43 points. Kelvin Benjamin put up 1,100 yards in college. There's a stat the other day. Spiking the football is more efficient right now than throwing to Kelvin Benjamin, but he was a star. He was a star in college. That's how this works. Anyone who makes the NFL is a legend in their hometown, a legend at their high school. Not everybody who plays for Alabama is like that.
Yeah. Kevin Clark joining us. Very funny, guys. So I was saying this. What are the Panthers? New England doesn't lose like that. Saints don't lose like that. That reminded me of Ohio State-Purdue this year, where I'm like, Ohio State's got problems in the locker room. That game, that doesn't happen to great teams, right?
North Turner mania only lasted about 2 weeks, huh? I mean, that was really, there was quite a wave there. But I think generally they are what we thought they were a couple weeks ago. They are the third best team in the NFC. I don't even see a path for them to get into sort of the Mount Rushmore of the top four teams in the NFL. I just don't see any improvement. I think the Chargers of the NFC. The only difference, though, is the Chargers have Joey Bosa kind of lingering. He could come back and make them an elite team.
Yes.
The Panthers do not have that. They are what they are. I think that the offense is much easier now. DJ Moore is a weapon. Christian McCaffrey is a weapon. Greg Olson's a weapon. They're not just throwing Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin out there and saying, hey, make it work. So I think they are a much improved team. I think they are, without a doubt, probably a scary team to play in the playoffs, but I don't see them as a threat on the road in the playoffs.
I also feel like they have to play a certain way to win. They don't play great from behind. No. They're an energy team. They're sneaky good at home. If they get a lead, those tricky plays, play action. But if they're down 14 last night with that pass rush, I'm like, they're not built to play from behind. Yeah. They have to win a certain way. New England, Pittsburgh can win a lot of different ways. Low scoring, high scoring, front, behind. I do analogies most bad. But I was saying New England's Ali, Pittsburgh's Tyson. And I always felt Ali would beat Tyson. Ali was always the smartest fighter, including the referee in the ring. Always. All fights. Pittsburgh is Tyson. When he's buttoned up and he came to the fight in shape, it was, oh my God. Pittsburgh last night was Pittsburgh. It was Spinks Tyson. No penalties.
Yep.
Not only Big Ben's arm, he was efficient. Not only their big play guys, seven Steelers had touchdowns. Like, when I watched them there, Kevin, I'm like, oh, I don't want any piece of that.
Yep. It's interesting you mentioned Mike Tyson, because Mike Tyson was pure talent. That's what he was. Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, they kind of show so many things are overrated. You know, the Steelers never run play action. They don't do any of this modern stuff we talk about every week as being vital to the NFL.
Yeah.
They're like the anti-McVay in a way.
Yeah.
But they just paste teams because they have really good players, and that's it. And so Antonio Brown is as good as a player as there is in the league. Ben Roethlisberger is an elite quarterback. James Conner didn't have it last night like he normally does, but he's really good right now. The offensive line is the best in the league. They just have good players. Now, sometimes that's going to get disrupted. You know, I think that they don't have the coaching staff, you know, the superhuman coaching staff like New England, so the consistency is not always going to be there.
Right.
What they have is Tyson-esque pure talent.
The Troy Aikman came out this week. And he said, Cowboys are dysfunctional, and they need an overhaul. Now, I defended him on dysfunction. I said, Manchester United, Yankees, Dallas, Real Madrid, FIFA, IOC. When you get big and powerful, wealthy families, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, dysfunction's almost impossible to avoid. You have so much money. I mean, a couple of years ago, the Lakers made a decision to sign Kobe because Time Warner said, we're not going to give you the money if you don't have Kobe. And I think dysfunction's hard to avoid when you're a massive brand. At some point, there's too much money, too much leverage, too much power. Overhaul, though, means we got to start over. I don't feel like that with Dallas. I feel like they need a new coach, and I don't like calling for coaches' jobs, but it's flat. It's a flat. Am I wrong? What do they need?
Well, first of all, they need a coach who can come in to find out what Dak Prescott is. Because you start to hear these things, you know, Lewis Riddick said it yesterday, Amari Cooper is an elite route runner and can get separation. They just need the play calling. They do need to use play action more than they currently do, that sort of thing. The problem is the time is ticking on Dak Prescott's extension. And if Dak Prescott's going to make $15, $16, $17 million, he's no longer valuable. The point of Dak Prescott is that he's going to make $725,000 against the cap, which is what he makes this year, and you're going to build an infrastructure around him. If he's going to eat up a lot of cap, he's no longer valuable because he's not a top-tier guy. There are guys like Matthew Stafford in this league who are much better than Dak Prescott, whose contracts are killing their own team. And so if Dak Prescott's going to be the guy who's killing your cap, that's a really bad situation to be in. So I think you need to sort of make the decision. Don't extend Dak Prescott right now. Bring in a young, maybe a Lincoln Riley, maybe he's your first call. See what happens with innovative schemes, but get into the 21st century and then figure out what Dak Prescott is, what Zeke Elliott is, what this infrastructure looks like going forward.
Kevin Clark, great NFL writer, very funny guy on social media for The Ringer, used to be The Wall Street Journal. I also believe that if Dez clicks with Drew, that's another warning sign to Jerry. Bro, how do you think Dez and the Saints works?
There's going to be a Dez Bryant game in New Orleans. I mean, there's going to be a 150-yard, two-touchdown game, and the reason is because of Drew Brees. He lost a lot of vertical explosion, Dez Bryant, last year. We saw that. The foot injury has lingered. He's not the same guy he was, but if anybody can make any player in the league look like a superstar, it's Drew Brees right now. I mean, he's connecting with Michael Thomas at, what, 88% of
the time? Isn't
that
amazing?
I mean, he's rewriting norms. Like, I don't even know. When I look at Drew Brees and those stats, I can't believe it. He's completing 68% of his passes if you just take away passes within the first 10 yards. So he just deep balls. It's unbelievable. No, I've never seen anything like this. And so, yes, he's going to be able to get the ball to Dez Bryant. Doesn't matter if Dez Bryant can create separation. Doesn't matter if he can go vertical like he used to. So there's going to be, in the next couple weeks, and I think Sean Payton is petty enough to try it against Dallas, to try to make it a Dez Bryant, you know, breakout game. The timing works out perfectly.
Because they didn't give – Sean Payton never got the big job in Dallas.
He never got the big job in Dallas. He never got –
That's why Belichick does to Cleveland. He always calls Cleveland first on trades to make
exactly.
him look bad.
Exactly. Give him Jamie Collins.
Yes,
right, exactly.
Right.
And so I just think generally I would not be surprised if they game plan to get Dez a huge game against Dallas.
Okay, so I threw this out there. And listen, Packer fans think I hate Aaron Rodgers, but I don't. I think he's amazing. But I do think some of their issues, sometimes he can be a bit condescending. He's getting overly exasperated, and it's like, you know, he and Big Ben sometimes are a little dramatic for me. I'm more like the Luck, Russell Wilson, you know, Brady, just head down, do your stuff, right? But he not only leads the NFL in throwaways, he's going to triple everybody. And he's going to – now, when Phillip Rivers led the league in that, he didn't have Keenan Allen that year. He's not a mobile guy, and their offensive line was a wreck. Okay, Aaron's still mobile. Offensive line's fine. Devontae Adams, very good. Jimmy Graham's this. I believe he was ticked off coming into this year when they let go of Van Pelt, who's now at Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And I believe Aaron's looking around this league, Brees is better than ever. Brady's better than ever. And he's thinking, come on now. I do believe he came into this league. I think these throwaways are not just throwaways. It is a signal which is, really, that's the call. No motion again. I'm watching McVay. I'm watching Goff. I'm watching how open people are. Now, that again, maybe it's a massive reach, but this number is going to be exponentially bigger than everybody. There's something with McCarthy and Rodgers. Kevin, it's not right.
So here's the problem right now. In 2018, there are 10 or 15 offenses that make any player look like Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is not one of them. He's the one guy who doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers this year. He has under 100 quarterback rating, and he has the highest quarterback rating for a career in the history of football. That's him. He's 103 for his career. He's below that in a year where there are record numbers of guys above 100 rating. Anybody can get 100 rating these days. Anybody. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't have it. So it's the play calling. They have to modernize. Throwing guys open is very 2012, and that's what they're asking Aaron Rodgers to do. I think that it's just a lack of separation. You know, he just doesn't have the weapons. And I also think, you know, I really like Aaron Rodgers, and I think that, you know, one of the things that he's really good at is trusting his guys. And so if he's not throwing it into tight spaces, maybe he doesn't have the same trust. Maybe he doesn't have a guy like Jordy Nelson who he can just knows that they'll come down with it. It's younger receivers.
Yes.
It's younger receivers. And so maybe he doesn't have that chemistry built up to where he says, you know what, it's a small window, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Because we've seen that so many times from Aaron Rodgers over the past decade plus.
I don't think McCarthy is the coach next year.
I would tend to agree. Unless something miraculous happens. And we've seen it before in the second half of the season with Rodgers where he just gets it on a heater. But if that doesn't happen, I agree with you.
So great. Well, NFL writer, can you pick any game to go to every week?
Yeah, I tend to – I like to just watch every game.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I sit with the Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano, and I sit there and I take notepads and I just watch games and write notes all day.
When I do go to games, I tend to miss the game. I always say, oh, the game of the week is in Baltimore, and then it's in Seattle, and I'm sitting in a press box and feel like an idiot.
I know. I'm the same way. It's great seeing you.
Great being here.
Kevin Clark for The Ringer. And, you know, Bill Simmons used to text me. He doesn't text me anymore. That's unfortunate. But nonetheless, we like Bill, and we love you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By the way, I got to show you that Bill Belichick moment. This is as giddy as Bill Belichick gets, and I think there's a reason for it. So Belichick against Green Bay got mic'd by the NFL Films, and he's just incredibly giddy throughout the game, and they just throw a touchdown pass to Josh Gordon, and here's Belichick.
Who are you throwing that to?
That was to Josh.
All right. Great job. Yeah, great job. Great job, Flo. Tell you what, holding them to 17, it's hard.
It's about as giddy as he gets. And you know my takeaway on this? That play, that moment, was a real moment for New England. Never forget what they came into this season in August facing. They had a left tackle issue. Edelman and Hightower coming back from injuries. Tom Brady, Bill relationship, there was a fissure. Gronk had missed camp. Both the first-round picks been banged up. In August, and then you play in September, it's like, On that play, Belichick knew Josh Gordon's a real weapon. Tom had nothing but time to throw. We solved left tackle, and we held Aaron to 17. I think that play, Belichick was like, all right. This is a team that can get to the Super Bowl and should get to the Super Bowl. That play, that moment, that epiphany. I speak about epiphanies all the time. There are moments in life you're like, wow, we're free and clear. Check cleared. I'm going to make it. That was a big moment for New England if you consider what they faced in August.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We do this on Friday for the biggest college football game or games of the weekend. We call it our spoiler alerts.
Warning, Colin is about to reveal the outcomes of the biggest college football games this week. If you don't want to know exactly what's going to happen, turn away now.
Biggest game is Ohio State at Michigan State. Something's wrong with Ohio State's program. Last 2 weeks, they've surrendered on average 500 yards. One of those teams was Nebraska, which has an abysmal offense. Something's amiss. This is the way it works in college football. Outside of Nick Saban at Alabama, most of these big dog dynasties, Urban at Florida 7 years, Pete at USC 7 years, Les Miles at LSU, really good for about 7 years. Chip Kelly at Oregon about 7 years. Jimbo at Florida State about 7 years. Ohio State and Urban, good for about 7 years. The wheels are coming off. They lose good assistants, and they can't replace them with equally good assistants. Listen, Ohio State has won the last 6 meetings against the Spartans, and they're 51-4 in conference games at Ohio State. And, you know, they're the better team, especially offensively, big edge at quarterback. But spoiler alert, I'm going to say, closer than Vegas thinks, Ohio State 24-23, but there are problems in Columbus. Last year getting routed by Iowa, this year getting routed by Purdue. I'm sorry, but you just don't see Alabama losing like that. You don't see Oklahoma losing like that. Problems for Urban Meyer. I think the end is near. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel. Diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to the HerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. TheHerdNow.com. TheHerdNow.com store is open for business today.